Good to see all of you again. Tonight, we're going to have a kind of a short message, and it's going to be rather simple. And then we'll go and have some time of fellowship and enjoy each other's company for a while. If you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, just for starters. You know, this morning as we were looking in the scripture, and Jesus asked the disciples, you know, if they would go away also, and Peter said, "Where could we go? You know, you have the words of life." And as I listened to some comments and thought about some things, you know, some years ago, there was a kind of a stupid movie that came out called Ghostbusters. Any of you remember that stupid show? And the song, you know, says, "Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters." Well, I guess if there was such a thing as ghosts and that sense, and you needed some help, I guess maybe calling Ghostbusters might not be a bad thing. But, you know, there are many things in life that occur. We all face things in our lives, and sometimes, you know, we might wonder who we're going to call or what we're going to do. And I was thinking about some scriptures, and Luke chapter 3, begin at verse 7. It says, "Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." In verse 10, "So the people asked him, saying, 'What shall we do then?' He answered and said to them, 'He who has two tunics, let him give it to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise.' Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?' And he said to them, 'Collect no more than what is appointed for you.' Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, 'And what shall we do?' So he said to them, 'Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages.'" Now, this is a situation here where John the Baptist is the one that's talking here. And here you have people saying, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Well, John is giving them some advice. But those things that he was telling them were good advice for their situations. But, you know, not all of our situations fit in those categories. So, as I pondered on some of these things, there's many, many, many situations in Scripture where people were in a dilemma. But one of them that I went to here is in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and verse of chapter 22. If I can get my Bible open to the right place. 2 Samuel 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Now, David, at this time, has been through a lot of things. And it says, then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, look at what David had to say here after he'd been through all of these situations. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So, as David was thinking back over this, he's praising God and he's recognizing that God has saved him and has provided for him. Verse 5 said, when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. You know, those of us that have been Christians for quite some time have had occasion to call upon God. We've had things happen in our lives, things that were difficult to bear, things that were difficult to endure. And it didn't get any better until we looked to God. You know, we can try to fix things on our own, but that usually doesn't work out very good. We need to look to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have another situation. I'm not real good about sticking stuff in my Bible to find my pages easy, so I have to just turn to them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, we have a situation here. Said it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's the king. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you, and from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazeron Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And I thought, you know, here you had a situation where the nation of Judah is being threatened. Armies are assembling, not just one country, but several countries are gathering to invade Judah. And the word came to the king, and he didn't start saying, oh, gather the armies and let's build some more bows and arrows and spears. What was his reaction? He began to seek God. He looked to God for his answer. He depended on God. His faith was in God to deliver. And we find that God did deliver if we read on the rest of that story. So, those are some examples of some that I found, and I just thought of some of these. Another thing that I looked at was in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 and 22 through 22. Jesus here was on his way to minister to a girl who was about to die. And it says, "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 20 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.' But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, 'Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well.' And the woman was made well from that hour." You know, she had had a problem for years. She struggled a long time, and there seemed to be no hope. Then she heard of Jesus, and she said, "If I can just get there and touch his garment, I can be made whole." She immediately began to look to Jesus, to God, for her help. So we all have things. We have health issues. We have family issues. I received a phone call just a little bit ago, just before I left the house, from my youngest brother. And he shared with me that my next to the youngest brother is in the hospital in Durant. He had gone this past week, had some skin cancers, and turns out some of them were pretty severe. They've taken off a big part of his nose, cut out some large sections in his arm, and so on. And to make matters worse, now he's got staph infection in it. And so this is, you know, not a good situation. And last night he got very sick, and they took him to the hospital this morning. So I don't know. That's a bad thing. We've got people all around us that are struggling with all kinds of health issues. Went to see A.B. yesterday. He seems to have improved. But there's a lot of people out there suffering. But where do we go and where do we look? Where do we find our answers? We find the answers through God. We place our faith in Him. It may be His will to heal. It may not be His will to heal. If it's not His will to heal us, He can give us the strength to endure. He can comfort us through those times. In Acts chapter 7, at verse 54, it says, "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." You know who this is talking about? Stephen. Stephen. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, all of us, if Jesus tarries to come back and rapture the church, we're going to all face death in some way. That's a fact. It may be when we're young, it may be when we're old. Jim and I know it's going to be when we're old. We're already there. But some of y'all, you may leave here when you're young. Jim and I got that one beat, haven't we, Jim? But anyway, when that time comes, how are we going to approach it? Are we going to be able to look up and call on Jesus and see him welcoming us home? Or are we going to approach it with fear and seeking help from somewhere else? Won't be any help from anywhere else. The only place that we'll be able to look is to Christ. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, it's written, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I pray that I can live when times get hard without fear and have all the confidence in the world that God will take me through it. We won't know till we get there, but I can pray that God will embolden me and give me the grace to endure. One last thing, and then we'll close and go fellowship. In Acts chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, Luke writes, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Now here the tables are kind of turned. Here are the people who are not depending on God are seeing the disciples and their boldness and what they've done and the works they've done. And it is such a thing that they cannot deny it. It's there. And as a result, these ungodly people pose the question, what can we do? Because it's obvious. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we as Christians could live our lives in such a way that when people began to be critical, they would be in a position that they could not deny that we had been with Jesus. And that all they could do is say, what can we do? Because it's obvious. There's nothing we can say against it. I realize that there are spots in my life that I've not come up to that mark. I hope that I'm getting better. I hope that God's helping me to grow and to live a better life that would point people to Jesus. I hope that's true for you. I pray that we would all grow spiritually. And when times come that are hard, that we would have the answer that we would look to God for our provision, for our salvation. And again, I hope that when we come to the end of our life, that people can look at us and say, you know, what can we do? I mean, it's obvious that he or she walked with God. Wouldn't that be sweet to have that said? So, with that, y'all ready to go have some fellowship and some food? At this time, Paul, would you ask the blessing on the food and ask God to dismiss us from this service?